Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Last night on this show, we played you a clip from a nearly hour-long video produced by two physicians in California, Drs. Dan Erickson and Artin Masihi. Likely many of you had already seen it. That video has had more than 5 million views on YouTube. In their presentation, the two doctors presented a flurry of data pointing to what we are currently learning about this virus and how it spreads. They recited pages of government statistics and then interpreted them in light of their own long clinical experience as doctors. At one point, they noted that the newly adjusted death rate in their state of California, which is much lower than anyone expected it to be, and they asked if government officials there should change their policies based on this new science. Watch.
We've seen 1,227 deaths in the state of California with a possible incidence or prevalence of 4.7 million. That means you have a 0.03 chance of dying from COVID-19 in the state of California. 0.03 chance of dying from COVID in the state of California. Does that necessitate sheltering in place? Does that necessitate shutting down medical systems? Does that necessitate people being out of work?
So whatever your view of the mass quarantines, and maybe you're enthusiastically for them, the questions you just heard are valid questions. In fact, they're critical questions. We should all be asking those questions, including and especially our policymakers. But as Dr. Erickson pointed out later in the video, dissent of any kind is no longer tolerated in this country. Fact-based honesty, which is the soul of science, is under attack, even in hospitals. Dr. Erickson described physicians being pressured to classify illnesses and deaths as related to coronavirus, whether they believe that to be true or not.
We aren't pressured to test for flu, but ER doctors now, my friends that I talk to say, you know, it's interesting, when I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so.
So what you just heard, what Dr. Erickson described, is called lying. And lying has no place in science ever. It's scary to think it takes place on a large scale in hospitals. He says it does. Viewers of Erickson's video were shocked and transfixed by this. They forwarded the video to friends who forwarded it on to their friends. And suddenly, millions of people who have spent the last 6 weeks on a diet of Tiger King and internet memes were watching sober-minded medical researchers reading from charts of statistics. It's hard to recall a science video taking off like this one did. Not everyone was impressed by it. Some criticized the doctor's policy conclusions. And of course, that's fair. Decent people have different opinions. We're not entirely certain what the perfect response to this pandemic is. Nobody is certain. There's no objective answer at the moment. At best, we can plod along with open minds and good faith. More informed debate is exactly what we need to make wise decisions going forward. Unfortunately for all of us, informed debate is exactly what the authorities don't want. They want unquestioned obedience, so they're cracking down on free expression. Last night, the doctor's video, the one you just saw, was pulled off of YouTube, the largest video hosting site in the world. It wasn't an accident. YouTube admitted doing it. The company cited a violation of, quote, community guidelines, and they did not apologize. Looking back, when all of this is finally over, and it will be, it's likely we'll see this moment, what YouTube just did, as a turning point in the way we live in this country, a sharp break with 250 years of law and custom. The two doctors' video was produced by a local television channel in California. It was, in effect, a mainstream news story. The video was not pornographic. It didn't violate copyright or incite violence or commit libel. It didn't break any law. The only justification for taking it down was that the two physicians on screen had reached different conclusions from the people currently in charge. It was a form of dissent from orthodoxy. YouTube and its parent company, Google, have now officially banned dissent. The CEO of YouTube admitted that openly.
But then we also talk about removing information that is problematic. You know, of course, anything that is medically unsubstantiated, so people saying, like, take vitamin C, take turmeric, like, those are all will cure you. Those are the examples of things that would be a violation of our policy. Anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations would be a violation of our policy. And so remove is another really important part of our policy.
So you're not just putting the truth next to the lie. You're taking the lie down. That's a pretty aggressive approach.
Removing, quote, anything that would go against World Health Organization recommendations. It'll now be taken off the internet. Consider that for a minute. As a matter just of science, it's ludicrous. Like everyone else involved in global pandemic policy, the WHO has often been wrong in its recommendations. A lot of people have. In mid-January, WHO told us that coronavirus could not spread from person to person. In March, they told us that face masks didn't work. Those were lies, and they were welcome on Google's platforms. Doctors who are actually treating patients with the virus, meanwhile, have just been banned. So no, this is not about science. Censorship never is about science. It's about power. Big technology companies are using this tragedy to increase their power over the American population. They're working in concert with politicians in order to do it. Just today, Facebook removed an events page for a political protest in Michigan. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who runs that state, was no doubt pleased to see it. Grossly mismanaging an entire state is a lot easier when citizens are not allowed to complain about it, and now they're not. Last week, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg explained that protests like these are no longer protected political speech. They're, quote, misinformation.
How do you deal with the fact that Facebook is now being used to organize a lot of these protests to defy social distancing, defy the social distancing guidelines in states? Is somebody trying to organize something like that, does that qualify as harmful information?
We do classify that as harmful misinformation, and we take that down.
Harmful misinformation, that is a phrase familiar to anyone who has watched totalitarian regimes in any country. It's now how Mark Zuckerberg describes political opinions he doesn't like. Our free press exists to push back against obvious abuses of power like this one. It's the reason we have a First Amendment. It's the only reason we have a First Amendment. But suddenly, our media are not concerned about freedom of speech. Reporters applaud our overlords as they punish us for disagreeing. You just saw it in that clip from CNN. That happens every day. Our media are no longer challenging power, they are colluding with power. And that may be why there's been so little critical coverage of the massive expansion of our surveillance state currently in progress. In the name of fighting the coronavirus, tech companies are now following you through your cell phone. They're watching you from above with drones. Those sound like paranoid fantasies, they are not. It's happening as we speak. Needless to say, our politicians approve of this.
How do you feel about the drones?
Look, at this point, we need to save lives, and it's really important that in public spaces, people are abiding by the directives.
Yeah, we've got to do it. So what do we have here? We have big companies partnering with the government to spy on you without your knowledge. Americans locked in their homes, banned from going to church, placated with sedatives like weed and beer. Anyone who speaks up is silenced. Political demonstrations are illegal. Organizers are arrested. Only opinions approved by leaders, many of them unelected, are allowed on information platforms. Does that sound familiar? It sounds a lot like China. Of all the many ironies of this moment, so many of them bitter, the hardest to swallow is this one. As we fight this virus, we are becoming far more like the country that spawned it. We are becoming more like China. It's horrifying. And it tells you everything that our professional class enthusiastically welcomes this. Over the weekend, The Atlantic magazine published an article by two academics calling for an end to freedom of speech in America. Their model for an ideal system, the totalitarian government of China. Quote, in the debate over freedom versus control of the internet, China was largely correct and the U.S. was wrong, end quote. You ought to read the whole thing. Truly, you should. It's the future. We could quote from it from the rest of the show, but we'll give you just one more. Quote, significant monitoring and speech control are inevitable components of a mature and flourishing internet, and governments must play a large role in these practices to ensure that the internet is compatible with society's norms and values. End quote. Norms and values. Whose norms and values? Well, our leaders' norms and values, of course, but mostly their interests. Those in power are the ones our professional class seeks to protect, not the rest of the country. Freedom of conscience never endangers the public. It only threatens the powerful. It endangers their control. It hinders their ability to dictate election results, to loot the economy, to make policies based on whim for their own gain. No wonder our leaders have done such a poor job protecting us from China. They're on the same team. Dave Rubin is the author of the fantastic new book, Don't Burn This Book. It came out today. We're happy to have him on tonight. Dave, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Tucker. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. Do you notice that the norms and standards, to quote The Atlantic, of American life seem to have changed overnight, and all of a sudden, we're being told we must accept things that would have been completely unimaginable 2 months ago?
Well, Tucker, there's so much to talk about here. First off, I didn't realize I was going to be on a sci-fi show tonight, but we are entering a dystopian future. We are entering an authoritarian future because, as I've said to you before, authoritarians love authoritarianism. So they're taking this opportunity when we're all confused, we're all locked at home. The only way we can communicate with each other is through their pipes, is through YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and everything else. And they're actually finally saying to us, this is who we are. I mean, the Atlantic is ridiculous. I don't know anyone that reads it anymore. But the bigger issue here is the YouTube, Twitter, Facebook component of it, because we are now saying to them, or they're saying to us, we're going to tell you what's true. And if you dare go against what we say is true, not necessarily what is true, but what we say is true, then we're going to boot you. So, of course, the other part of this is that it will always only be one side that gets booted here. I mean, is Facebook running around and is Twitter and YouTube running around? Are they taking away all the Russian collusion videos that were up over the past couple of years? I'm pretty sure MSNBC has a YouTube channel that still has videos on it. I mean, that was pushing lies and misinformation and propaganda. So we need to debate these things. If I was to interview these two doctors that you showed the video of, would my channel be deleted? Am I not allowed to talk about that? Is that not what science and open inquiry really is about, that you test theories and then you find out what actually is true? And as you pointed out, and this may be the most important part, it's not as if the WHO is infallible. They were literally just a few weeks ago telling us not to wear masks. Now, by law, I tried to go to CVS yesterday, and I wasn't going to wear a mask. I was just going to run in and out. And it said in the front of the store, it said, by law, you have to wear a mask. So it's not as if these people have some, you know, some total stranglehold on truth that the rest of us have to bow to unless they force us to. And unfortunately, big tech has got us now more than ever because we're all trapped at home and it's the only way we can communicate.
So no one in science has a monopoly on the truth. Science, in fact, is a rejection of the idea that there is a monopoly on truth. It's the endless search for what we can prove. That's what science is. This has nothing to do with it. You introduced as a hypothetical the notion that you could be deleted your channel for hosting this video. I'm not sure that is hypothetical anymore. And my question is very simple. How long before they come for you? You just wrote a book called Don't Burn This Book. How long before they come for the show? Sincere questions.
Yeah. Well, at some level, I don't want to think about it. But, you know, Tucker, you've written a couple of books, and you know that the publishing process takes quite some time. So I finished this book back in July. But I'm very proud that the ideas that I present in Don't Burn This Book are more relevant now than they even were then, because I talk about big tech. I talk about fake news, all of the things that we're constantly talking about. And am I worried? Yeah, I'm worried. I mean, look, everyone should be worried. Everyone should be worried. This is why I started Locals.com, my tech company, because I think we need digital homes. Anyone that's online and you think that YouTube or Facebook or Twitter is there to protect you, you're the product. I mean, these things are free, except free meaning they just took your soul in exchange for it. We should own our data. You should own your own content. We need to start rethinking everything. I mean, I think this is why I'm actually quite enthused about the world right now, as depressing and upsetting as some of the news is. You know, there's a new world coming on the horizon, and I think a lot of people are rethinking the way they look at the world, the way, do you want to commute? Do you want to live in a big city? Do you want to be so reliant on the institutions and systems that we've always been reliant on? So I think we have to rethink things. And you know what, Tucker, this is still America for a little while. And I believe in old-fashioned hard work and competition and ingenuity. And I think that's what will fix this. But yeah, we got a big battle to fight in front of us.
Yeah, and maybe some, I mean, these companies exist because Congress gave them a carve out in federal legislation. And you sort of wonder, where is Senator Mike Lee on this question, sucking up to Google? Dave, great to see you tonight. Thank you
very
much.
This is one of the interesting ones,
right? Congrats on the book.
Thanks, Tucker.